Let me ask you, if your relationship with God could be physically seen, what would that space look like? Would it be a large, spacious, enjoyable room? Would it be multiple rooms where God's Spirit was welcome throughout? Maybe it would be a small, out-of-the-way closet, crowded with little room for God to work.
Welcome to this edition of the Peace and Power Podcast, where we rediscover the life of peace and power envisioned in God's Word. Somewhere deep within, each of us desires an inner flow of peace and power that transforms our daily attitudes, relationships, and life decisions. So we turn now to God's message, the Bible, as it teaches us to live in that flow of spirit peace and spirit power. It may be helpful for you to follow the outline of each talk, which is available in the show notes. And you will find the full transcript on our website, peaceandpowerpodcast.com. That's peaceandpowerpodcast.com. Here is Dr. Jim Coleman with today's Bible Talk.
A few years ago, my friend Amy, who is a talented artist, told me excitedly, "My husband and I just bought a small storefront. It's not much, but it can be my studio. I've never really had the space I needed for my oil painting without being cramped and stacking up canvases and putting paint on high shelves. Now I have the space to do my art." My spouse Tammy is a great domestic space specialist. Several months ago, she made the observation that we should move our dining room into our formal living room and make the dining room space a small library. Now, I couldn't immediately see it in my mind's eye, but I knew to trust her furniture and space instincts. So, we rearranged the space. We made space for 4 bookshelves. We made space for a small desk and chair. We made space for a comfortable love seat and space for 2 end tables. We made space for an area rug. And now we have a focused place for reading and reflection. What an enjoyable library space. It's almost like it was created to be that kind of space in the first place. Let me ask you, if your relationship with God could be physically seen, what would that space look like? Would it be a large, spacious, enjoyable room? Would it be multiple rooms where God's Spirit was welcome throughout? Maybe it would be a small, out-of-the-way closet, crowded with little room for God to work. One of the most simple but clear definitions of a secular person is this: someone who makes no space in his or her life for God. True, there are more formal definitions of secularism that would include materialism and relativism, but in practical terms, there is no space for God. Hundreds of millions of people in Western culture today go for weeks or months or years hardly thinking about God. Maybe they grew up in a home where God's name was only mentioned as a curse word. Their friendship circle might not include people who talk about God. Perhaps in school they were told there isn't any place, no space, for God in their education, certainly not in the subject of science. They have lives full of many things, but there is no space for God. Some of them do say to themselves, "I will make space for God someday," but God is not important enough to make a space today. Ezekiel was not a secular person, but a very religious person, a Jewish priest and prophet who lived in ancient Judah about 600 years before Christ. When he was young and preparing to make a special place in his life for God as a priest, the powerful Babylonians invaded Judah 3 times. The second time, they took Ezekiel and about 10,000 others captive, and they deported them to Babylon, where he became a street preacher, a prophet, for about 22 years. About 10 years after Ezekiel was exiled, the Babylonians went back to Jerusalem a third time and destroyed Solomon's temple. That was the most holy space any Jew could imagine, and suddenly it was gone. Just knowing what you know now about Ezekiel's story, wouldn't you think that Ezekiel had already made enough space in his life for God? But we see near the end of Ezekiel chapter 3 that there in Babylon, God asked Ezekiel to make more space. In fact, several spaces. As believers in Jesus, we know that He claims all the spaces of our lives. There is no space in our lives that Jesus will not come into and make whole. Yet, we can make Jesus very uninvited in some of our life spaces. We would do well to look at Ezekiel's example and to make the same spaces in our lives God called Ezekiel to make in His. So hear that description now from Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 22 through 27. Then the Lord took hold of me and said, "Get up and go out into the valley, and I will speak to you there." So I got up and went, and there I saw the glory of the Lord, just as I had seen in my first vision at the Kibar River, and I fell face down on the ground. Then the Spirit came into me and set me on my feet. He spoke to me and said, "Go to your house and shut yourself in. There, son of man, you will be tied with ropes so you cannot go out among the people. And I will make your tongue stick to the roof of your mouth so that you will be speechless and unable to rebuke them, for they are rebels. But when I give you a message, I will loosen your tongue and let you speak. Then you will say to them, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says.' Those who choose to listen will listen, but those who refuse will refuse, for they are rebels." So the first space Ezekiel is called to make is a listening space to hear God's instruction. Verse 22, and the first phrase in verse 23. Then the Lord took hold of me and said, "Get up and go out into the valley, and I will speak to you there." So I got up and went. The Lord wants to speak to Ezekiel, but Ezekiel needs to get in the best space to listen. This past week, someone and I needed to talk a bit privately, and because others were moving through our space, we had to take a few steps away into a more private space. Some spaces are better talking and listening spaces than others. Where do you best hear God's voice? It doesn't have to be the same setting where others do. Some hear God best on a quiet, wooded path. Others hear God on a busy city street. For some, God speaks more often through other people, and for others, God speaks more clearly through circumstances. We read in the Gospels that Jesus often got away from everyone, out in a remote place, a remote setting, to listen for the Father's voice of instruction to him. It doesn't surprise us that God calls Ezekiel to go out into a valley where God had spoken to him before. It's not unusual that where God has consistently spoken to us before, God will likely speak to us again. That's why it's important to know the space in which you can usually hear from God. Certainly one of those spaces is while we are reading God's Word. This is God's primary means to speak to us. So we should confidently open our Bible with the expectation that God is going to speak. When Ezekiel is told by God to go to the valley and listen, he does. He obeys. What an inspiring example to us to seek a listening space to hear God's instruction. Well, what then happened to Ezekiel? He had a spiritual experience. He literally saw God's presence, God's glory. Now, this is not normative for Christians today, but I know Christians who have experienced a limited sighting of the glory of God, a kind of bright, shiny mist of the presence of God, as they describe it. In verse 23, Ezekiel said, "I saw the glory of the Lord." God's primary way of showing God's glory today is a dramatic display of God's work. whether it's His work in nature or in circumstances or in people. These are moments when you have no doubt that God is present and powerful. Even on the cross, Jesus displayed the glory of God because God's powerful work of salvation was occurring in that place. I think when Ezekiel obediently went where the Lord told him to go and listened until he heard God's message, that he had an expectant heart that God would show up. Do you expect that if you show up, God is going to show up? Do you expect glory sightings, so to speak? We need to create expectant spaces for God's presence. In fact, God's powerful presence was so overwhelming that Ezekiel fell on his knees in worship. This is our proper response as humans when witnessing the glorious presence and work of God. Now, it's true that worship spaces, sanctuary spaces, are created especially for worship, and that's important. But Jesus said that true worship can happen anywhere, in any space, where we turn our worship toward God. John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Moses worshiped in the desert in front of a burning bush filled with God's presence. Exodus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. This space in the valley was not only a listening space and an expectant space for Ezekiel, it was also a Holy Spirit space where he experienced God's empowerment. Verse 24 begins, "Then the Spirit came into me and set me on my feet." To do God's will, Ezekiel would need more than a space of worship. He would need a power beyond his own, Holy Spirit power. Remember, Jesus told his disciples that they would need more than the gospel and more than being witnesses of his resurrection. That's why he gave this instruction in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Jesus knew they needed power, Holy Spirit power, in their lives and in their message. I mentioned a moment ago the sanctuary as a space of worship, and it may be helpful for us to think in that kind of way as we consider encountering and receiving God's power. There are places in a Christian sanctuary that perfectly display how the Spirit lifts us from our knees of worship into renewed power. One is the kneeling altar. We come to the kneeling altar admitting our powerlessness, and we get on our knees, and we do business with God, and we stand to our feet in the renewed power of the Holy Spirit. Another space is at the communion table. We come admitting our spiritual need and our weakness and our inner hunger, and we leave that table filled with the holy meal, renewed in the power of the risen Christ. Oh, how we need holy spaces where we are empowered by the Spirit of Jesus. But then in this story, there is a space that does not seem very holy. Notice how Ezekiel experienced this space. "He," the Spirit, "spoke to me and said, 'Go to your house and shut yourself in. There, son of man, you will be tied with ropes, so you cannot go out among the people. And I will make your tongue stick to the roof of your mouth, so that you will be speechless and unable to rebuke them, for they are rebels.'" Aren't the spaces we have seen Ezekiel experiencing so far great and dramatic? It is wonderful to be in a space where we hear the guiding voice of God. It is amazing to be in a space where God shows up in a glory sighting. It is invigorating when you are in a Holy Spirit space and are renewed, strengthened. But God instructs Ezekiel to now go into a frustrating space to learn godly patience. Think of it, if you are him, trained to be a priest, who links people with God, do you think it is frustrating to be locked inside your house? If your desire, like Ezekiel's, is to instruct people with both warning and then comfort, Do you think it is frustrating to literally have your hands tied with ropes and suddenly have a speech impediment? And remember, all of this is asked of Ezekiel by God, the God who put the desire in Ezekiel's heart to be a priest and prophet. What is God doing? Just this past week, a circumstance came my way that changed what I had seen as a great opportunity into a frustrating experience. This change was like an open door that suddenly shut. The circumstance now felt blocked, felt limited and restricted. I felt like Ezekiel, tied with ropes, and his experience actually comforted me. It increased my faith. I finally had to ask, well, to pray, how God was at work in this circumstance. For God is always at work in redeeming limited circumstances. In the least, God uses those circumstances to develop within us godly patience. God is helping us to wait for a right time to feel release and freedom. Haven't you been there? Been there in that frustrating circumstance where it seems you are shut inside of that situation, with your hands tied, with your tongue useless? Then pray for godly patience, for your God is at work. And that is Ezekiel's experience as well. Verse 27 begins, "But when I give you a message, I will loosen your tongue and let you speak." At the right time, Ezekiel was allowed to do what he was created to do and called to do. He entered a freeing space to fulfill his God-given purpose. I don't know what God has called you to do in this world, to fulfill God's purposes in your life. For many of us, a key part of what God has called us to do is to raise a family and to display our faith to our children and grandchildren. Also, for many of us, we feel like we only touch a few lives along the way. But God will make that multiply into hundreds, perhaps thousands of lives, and we may never realize it. But God's heart and God's plan is to give us a sense of freedom in fulfilling the purpose He has given to each of us. And finally, the clouds clear and the sun shines, and Ezekiel's ropes are removed. His tongue is loosed, his door is unlocked, and he emerges into a freeing space to fulfill the God-given purpose of his life. But Ezekiel, like most of the Hebrew prophets, has been told by the Lord that just because Ezekiel is faithful to share the Lord's message doesn't mean everyone will accept that message. Verse 27 ends with, "Then you will say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Those who choose to listen will listen, but those who refuse will refuse, for they are rebels." Now, God has not changed God's policy since the Garden of Eden regarding human free will. People can and must make choices about whether they give space in their life to God or refuse to give that space. Recently, while flying from Denver to Nashville, I was seated beside a 4-year-old boy. His mother was seated on the other side of him. He got sleepy about halfway through the flight, and he laid down in his seat, and he put his feet across my knees. His mother apologized to me and started to wake him up, and I reassured her, "Ma'am, I've raised 3 boys, and I've had many little feet in my lap and my face. He is just fine. You let him sleep." "Are you sure?" she asked. Now, when she asked that question, she was respecting my free will, my choice. And I responded, "Absolutely, it's fine." I was communicating to her that I was allowing him to extend into my space. God says to everyone who hears God's messages, "It's up to you. I have given you the space to decide, to accept or to refuse, to make godly or ungodly choices. I will lovingly offer you the truth," says God to you, "but you can refuse it or reject it." So in conclusion, let me ask, do you have a listening space to hear God's instruction in your life? Do you have an expectant space, eagerly awaiting glory sightings of God's presence? Do you have a space for the Holy Spirit to renew and empower you? Are you willing, in a frustrating space, to develop godly patience until a freeing space comes for you to live out your gifts and your purpose. All of those spaces are up to you. They're your choice to give those spaces to God. Hear this peace and power principle. God's power turns every space into a holy space.
Thank you for listening to the Peace and Power Podcast, and we invite you to subscribe to hear the next upcoming Bible talk. Again, our website is peaceandpowerpodcast.com, and our prayer is that God's Word has brought you a greater sense of a supernatural flow of God's peace and power in your life.